Hi, my name is Ralph Remy with National MI, and we're jumpstarting our podcast series here in 2023. And I am honored and privileged to have a very familiar guest with me. Her name is Kristen Messerly. Hey, Kristen, and how are you today?
Hi, I'm great. So happy to be here for your jumpstart.
All right. Well, thanks. We appreciate you being here. And we really want to talk about at National MI, we really are excited that we were able to sponsor and really be a part again of a Next Gen Homebuyer Report. As you know, we have been working with you now 3 years in the annual Next Gen Homebuyer Report. But this year we decided to do something a little bit special, a little bit different, where we're bringing out mini reports on a quarterly basis. And today we're going to talk about the Next Gen Women's Homebuyer Report that Kristen launched on March 1st. So Kristen, I just want to ask you kind of what maybe surprised you about that Women's Homeownership Report compared to maybe the global or general report that you've done in the past?
First of all, this report was really, really fun to do. I think we've been seeing some gender differences across the last several years. And so to be able to really concentrate specifically on some of those differences and dig into them a little bit in this report was really fascinating. I think one of the there's no surprise around the fact that women were more burdened with high cost of living and had higher financial anxiety around their financial situation, things like that. But I did find it really interesting to see that there was so many more women. I think it was like 40% of women said that not knowing where to begin was a major barrier to buying a home this year versus 30% of men. And that's just one example of the overall like lack of, I think, financial knowledge or confidence in their financial knowledge that was definitely more significant with women. Women were also more likely to say they didn't trust financial advisors or have access to trusted resources and support. And they were also more likely to say that they didn't trust the market and that they had both jobs insecurity and they didn't trust the housing market itself. So there's a lot of factors that are preventing women from buying homes. And yet single women make up the second largest cohort of home buyers, double that of single men. And homeownership is like a huge symbol around, you know, financial security and independence and all of that. So it was interesting to see that dichotomy between like women making a ton of progress and also having all these significant barriers.
Wow, that's some great nuggets you just shared all in a couple sentences for you. So I'm going to try to dissect some of that you just shared with us. Starting off with, I know you've talked about distrust and we're going to get back to that because that is something I really want to talk about and break down. But I want to start with what you mentioned first, which was a 40% of women didn't know where to start the process. And I feel part of not knowing the process is a stat that you continue to share in your reports. And that has to do with just the myth that people need 20% down in order to purchase a home. Here at as an MI company that helps with providing mortgages to lower down payment borrowers, I certainly want to make that kind of front and center here today. And it kind of gets me thinking. So in your report, you talked about that 77% of next-gen homebuyers still think that they need to put 20% down. And frankly, next-gen homebuyers aren't alone. As I was looking at some additional reporting, and NAR was talking about that a third of homebuyers are putting 20% down and that the median down payment last year is 14% and actually 6% among first-time homebuyers. So talk to me about that education and how do we continue to educate folks and potential home buyers in the marketplace to understand that 20% isn't that magic number, that there are ways to get financing with much less down.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, that has come up consistently in almost every conversation I have. Yes. I mean, even from like years ago, I did an informal survey with Harvard Business School students where people, like no one in the room knew that you could put less than 20% down. And these are really smart people in business school. And so there's just a big myth that, yeah, you need at least 20% that's preventing everyone from purchasing a huge amount of that market from purchasing a home. And then there's also the confusion around when and where to start, you know? So there's like this, and it definitely plays into the trust factor as well that we'll get into. But I think, you know, overall, not knowing where to begin is a feeling of insecurity around their own financial knowledge. And that definitely that hesitancy to think that they need to save a certain amount. They also don't know about, they don't know about MI. They think that have a lot of misconceptions around MI. Also don't know about first time homebuyer programs and, you know, things available to them. So I definitely think, and one of the data points in our report that was consistent across both men and women, but 77% of millennials and Gen Z said that they thought you needed to put 20% down or weren't sure.
Yeah, and that's where we need to continue to educate this. And part of this conversation is really to help loan officers out there in the marketplace to use this as an opportunity to educate potential home buyers out in the marketplace, not just next gen, not just next gen women, but just all home buyers out there, that there are opportunities for them with as little as 3% down. So this kind of will kind of, if we're educating them, hopefully we're building that trust. And I want to talk about distrust, because it's, I know, a conversation you have been talking for quite a while. I know we've done webinars as part of National MI University around the distrust piece, and you've spoken about that quite a bit over the last couple of years. And in this report, you bring that up again as it relates to women home ownership. What were you able to discover as a result of that? But how do we gain trust of next gen women in order to help them continue to move forward and bond or build our relationships with them?
So first of all, I mean, I think the conversation around financial literacy and education around 20%, all that kind of stuff plays into this distrust, because a lot of people are, even in the conversations and interviews I've done, people will say that they don't want to talk to someone until they feel confident in their own financial knowledge. And that is very difficult to get to, because they're confused and lost and overwhelmed about where to begin. But then they don't want to talk to someone because they don't trust that they're not going to get sold to, or they're not going to get, you know, like, actually the first report we did in 2020, we saw this significant gender gap around this, where women were more likely to say they were worried if they talked to a loan officer that they would get sold on something they didn't want to get sold into. And so there's this general fear. And Harvard Business Review did a report or article or something that I read recently that said that women were more likely to say that they were worried that they, that building rapport was the most important thing to do first in selling to women, because there was this overall fear that they were going to, they just didn't trust that person. And so, you know, that's where trust becomes such an important factor in selling and even marketing to women. But yeah, a couple of the data points that we found in this report, and it started, again, like I said, a few years ago, but in 2021, we found that 2 in 3 next-gen homebuyers said they didn't think lenders were trustworthy or reliable. And so we looked at that and we were like, what do they mean by lenders? Like, who is it that they are distrusting? And so we broke that down further. And this year, we looked at this across loan officer, real estate agent, and then lender and bank and credit union. And when you spread that out, you realize that people are more likely to trust the individual and much less likely to trust the institution. And that, you know, so they're more likely to, first is real estate agent and then loan officer, and then it goes to lender and then bank or credit union. And that's consistent across outside of this industry. Like, we started, I originally was thinking this is because of the financial crisis, millennials entered adulthood during or right after, and this is how it's, you know, it's created this kind of distrust. But then I realized we've lost institutional trust across all industries, from government and media and healthcare and faith-based institutions. I mean, across the board, people are moving away from this trust in the institution and towards the individual. And so what that means for lenders is that we need to empower the individuals to build trust with, especially with women, and all homebuyers, but moving towards this, how do you build rapport? How do you immediately say, I want to understand your goals. I want to understand, you know, what your specific financial situation is, and then we can make a plan together versus you come to me for a transaction. You know what I mean? And I think that shift is what is going to really move the needle around capturing more of this business.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you talk about having building that rapport and just having really more emotionally driven conversations to understand where they're at, I always think about, you and I talk quite a bit about the experience of the borrower and the borrower experience. And I always like to say, you know, a customer experience or borrower experience is about meeting your client where they're at. And, you know, so where are our next gen women? Where are they at? How are we helping educate them so they feel a little bit more confident to even start to have that preliminary discussion so we can build that rapport? So tell me a little bit about where next-gen women are actually looking for this information about the home buying process. Where are they trying to educate themselves in order to be able to move forward?
So they were more likely than men to go to blogs, which I thought was interesting. But across the board, men and women were turning to their family and friends, even a financial advisor. But social media is a big one that I want to dig into a little bit. We found that YouTube was the number one source on social media that people turned to for learning about the home buying process. And that was consistent from last year. And we did a couple of follow-up surveys that found that. And I think it makes sense. We're all moving towards video. And it's funny because when I saw that, I was surprised. And then I thought about anything that I try to learn, I go immediately to YouTube, you know? So I think that tells us, one, that video is important, but also two, that what we can do is, even if you don't have a big following on YouTube or don't want to spend the time to generate that kind of following, YouTube is still a really great source to send people to whenever you get that lead, you know, or whenever you are meeting with people, you do, let's say, a first-time homebuyer event, send them to your YouTube channel, and then you have a quality source of information for them that they can go and see answers to common questions or things like that. So that was one area. The other thing I'd mentioned that was interesting that changed from year over year was the TikTok. I think 2021, it was like 12% of people went to TikTok. This year was 51%. And I actually think that feels low, and I know it's increasing just every day. So, but those are very different types of sources. And again, what it tells us too is that we're moving towards that following an individual expert versus the institutional expert.
Yeah, and you're talking about just really educating, making them feel a little bit more confident of the decision, being able to kind of steer them toward where they're used to being, getting their information. You have a quote in the report, which I thought is fascinating, knowing it, just having worked with so many next gen women out there. And it said, millennial and Gen Z women are particularly loyal and vocal about the people and brands they trust, who align with their values and who provide an exceptional customer experience. So how do we empower female homebuyers to be confident about their financial decisions so they can become that loyal voice for us out in the marketplace?
You know, I do think it comes down to, how are you, one, listening to them from the very beginning, two, personalizing it to them and their situation, and three, empowering them with education. And I think that I was thinking about my own personal experience, and I think that was partly why this report was really fun, is I bought a home a couple years ago, and I just resonate so deeply with the research that was gathered. But I, going through that process, even though I have worked in this industry, been so educated around all of this stuff, it's still, I felt like I didn't know where to begin, you know, and that prevented me from starting the process for quite a while. It felt, but there was a lot of emotion behind that. You know, I may have felt like I didn't know where to begin, but I did know where to begin. You know what I mean? And so having that kind of anxiety and stress around it, and even, you know, the whole process of shopping is, it felt like it was going to be fun and then it wasn't. And I think, once I met a loan officer who did actually kind of listen to what my situation was like, what I was looking for, which, point in this report, my top priority was that I wanted to feel safe in my neighborhood. And that was the number one preference for women as well in this listed in this report. And so for me, buying a single family home felt scary. I felt like, you know, no one's going to hear me if something goes wrong, whatever. I'm going to get murdered in my house. And so I had these horrible nightmares of this. And so I found tenant in common kind of condo situation. And that was so good for me. And I think that even though that might not be in the loan officer's purview, like having them understand this is what my goal is, and just having that expert in my kind of like house of, or, you know, people on my team, made a huge difference. And then from there, having them listen to me and share back, here's what this looks like for you over the next 5 years. Here's what this, you know, he did a total cost analysis with me. And I just felt like so much relief. It changed everything for me. And that turned me into a huge advocate. I immediately text all my friends. I've got the right loan officer for you whenever you're ready, you know, so for someone who is very anxious, anxious about the home buying process, which most buyers are, but the data says, especially women, then, and someone who does feel lost in starting the process, then you become this very, bright light in what feels like a dark space. And that's going to turn your buyers, or even if they don't end up being your buyer, they're still going to be an advocate for you and they're going to send you business. And it's a really great marketing and sales strategy just in and of itself. And it doesn't take that much extra time to kind of go through that process of building rapport, and, you know, listening to the consumer, kind of building a plan together.
Yeah, and I think that goes in line to something you mentioned toward the end of the report, which is kind of your three E's, as you call it, where you talked about educating your home buyer, your borrower, being empathetic with them and their situation, and then giving them, you know, and providing empowerment to them. And kind of your story almost fits in line with all those three E's that you really highlight on how we can continue to connect with next gen home buyers and women home buyers in your report. Kristen, you know, is there anything that you want to just add that maybe we didn't cover today before we kind of wrap things up here today?
Oh, no, I do want to reiterate. I totally forgot about the three E's: education, empathy, and empowerment. That is exactly what I was describing, but a bit more succinctly. So that's good.
Well, I guess it shows I'm reading your report, Kristen.
I know, that's good. Yeah. The one thing I wanted to bring up is around the financial education piece. So women and men are graduating at equal rates and they're equally educated. More women are head of households than they previously were, making financial decisions, all of that. But women were less likely to be educated about financial literacy at a younger age. And that was part of the data that we've gathered over the last several years, and found that when you controlled for that piece of data, like when we were able to say, let's take that piece of data out, then a lot of the other factors kind of evened out, which means that having financial education at a younger age makes a huge difference in overall financial outcomes. While we've made a ton of progress, I think financial education needs to happen at a younger age, across all genders and demographics and all of that. So with that, I wanted to plug the nonprofit I'm working on, First Home IQ, that is really going to be an industry-wide effort. And you can visit firsthomeiq.com to learn more information about that. But I think that doing what you can to be involved in your community and starting at a younger age, it's not only going to have you know, a huge impact over the long haul, but it also is where people are influencing their parents, and there's a lot of community members, and women and Gen Z in particular are very attracted to people who are mission driven and involved in their communities. So anyway, it's all around a win-win, and just want to encourage everyone to make financial literacy a priority and also look at that at younger ages as well.
Well, well said, Kristen. First of all, I'll say congratulations again on another phenomenal report. We at National MI, even myself personally, I know we've worked on a lot of things together, are just so proud to be part of this with you and part of this journey. It's not just 3 years of annual reports, but now we're digging into specific segments that really are giving us the education to continue to be better for our potential home buyers out there and our borrowers. So I want to say thank you and congratulations all at the same time to you on this report. So as a quick reminder to everybody, a couple places you can actually find the report if you haven't seen it as of yet to get all these details and more. You can go to National MI's website, nationalmi.com/nextgen-resources, or you can just go to nationalmi.com, click on training and next gen resources. The reports are there. Also, a recording of a webinar Kristen did with us at National MI University is on that page. Or you can also go to Kristen's page at nextgenresources.com. All the reports are there on both websites ready for you at your disposal. So Kristen, thank you so much for joining us as we kickstart our podcast series here at National MI again. We certainly thank you again for your continued support of everything we do and everything you work with us day in and day out. So thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And again, for the collaboration and sponsorship on these reports, I think it's really exciting to be able to elevate these voices and learn more. So looking forward to the next one.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thanks, Kristen.